Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
I want you to come with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's find verse 18 together. It may help if you have this piece of paper entitled, Like Paul, Grow an Attitude of Gratitude. We've been passing through this season of Thanksgiving, but for a person who follows Jesus, Thanksgiving is not just a day. It should be our lifestyle. Let's call it Thanksgiving. For every day we live in an awareness of God's blessing and we express to Him praise and appreciation for who He is and what He does for us. As a matter of fact, my goal is to make every day Thanksgiving Day. That's what we learn in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 verse 18 begins with a call to be filled with the Spirit of Jesus. And please note on your worksheet the result. If you are filled with the Spirit of Jesus, a person who is controlled by the Spirit of Jesus expresses appreciation. That should be as natural as breathing. We express to the Lord our appreciation, our gratitude, our thanksgiving, our praise for who He is and what He's done. But I'm convinced that people are generally not thankful because they don't fully appreciate the value of the gifts that surround them. So let me try to put it in these terms. I heard a funny story that makes this point. There was a lady from the hills of Tennessee, and she had raised three high-powered sons. They had gone off to the East and made their fortune. Well, it was her birthday upcoming. It was a big birthday. She was turning 70. They wanted to impress Mama with a great gift of gratitude for her birthday, but they were also competitive young men. And they decided to outdo each other with the gifts. Well, the oldest was Billy. He was a very successful New York City businessman. And he had discovered a Zurica bird. And he was going to make it his mother's birthday present. Now, this Zurica bird was special. Oh, my goodness. It was fluent in five languages. This Zurica bird could sing Italian operas. This Zurica bird had memorized the Sermon on the Mount and could recite it perfectly. Well, he had it specially shipped down to Mama in the Tennessee Hills. And on her birthday, he called her up and said, Mama, how did you like the bird? She said, Billy, it was delicious. Now, I believe we're somewhat like that in our lives. God gives us so many great grace gifts. And we don't fully understand them or appreciate them. We don't really recognize them. But think about it. When you're full of God's Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, then not only are you aware of those gifts, but you begin to appreciate these priceless gifts like love, forgiveness, salvation, God's constant protection, His consistent provision. All these things come from the hand of our loving Heavenly Father. And so it prompts us to be people of praise, gratitude, and thanksgiving. That's why every day should be a day of thanksgiving. Well, let's come now to Ephesians 5. Let's begin in verse 18. The scripture says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And when you're filled with the Spirit, it impacts how you communicate. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, occasionally give thanks. No, wait a minute, it doesn't say that. I'm sorry, my eyes are getting a little old. What does it say? Always give thanks for most things that you really like. No, it doesn't say that either. It says, always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Let's pray that in. Oh, Father, help us. Help us to be filled afresh with your Spirit because we're constantly leaking. Lord, right now we resubmit and resurrender ourselves to your leadership and your lordship. Lord, we want to live out your word. We want to do your will. So right now, call us to be people of praise and thanksgiving. I pray that you would get me out of the way and that your spirit would deposit your truth into every receptive heart. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's dig deep into this rich passage, and I want to basically give you a theology of thanksgiving. And let's start here. If you want to grow attitudes and actions that express gratitude, we're going to do three things, divided into three sections. Number one, the attitude of gratitude is, and I'm going to give you three thoughts that come from the Gospel of Luke, and they're all pictures painted by Jesus himself. So the attitude of gratitude is not selfish greed. Make that note. The attitude of gratitude is not selfish greed. Jesus gives us a first picture. It's over in Luke chapter 12. And in that picture, he displays a rich businessman who's a farmer. And this man does not have an attitude of gratitude for all of his blessings, but instead his life is framed in selfish greed. As a matter of fact, let me just read the parable. It's only a few verses, five verses. He put it like this, verse 16. He told them a parable saying, there was the land of a certain rich man, and it was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? And he says, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all of my grains and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own all of that you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Jesus paints a picture here of a man who ignores God's goodness, and he operates under the delusion that all of his blessing has been self-created. This is a man of extreme arrogance and pride. And here's what I've discovered, friends. Pride poisons gratitude. A prideful person is not a grateful person because they believe that they've earned their blessings and that they are entitled not only to their blessings, but they're entitled to your blessings and more blessings as well. Anyone here today, and in a moment of deep self-awareness, would you say, oh God, I need to replace my pride with humility? Is there anyone here who is so self-aware that you can identify your arrogance? Say, oh God, I want to exchange that. I don't want to be an arrogant person. I want to be a serving person. Well, let me give you God's prescription. It's found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. God's word tells us, do nothing from selfishness or prideful conceit, but with humility, consider others better than yourselves. Have this attitude in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, emptied himself and became a servant. So you can fill this prescription, not at CVS or Walgreens, but you can fill it in the spiritual realm as you go before God and say, oh, Father, would you replace my selfish greed with humble service? And that's a prayer worth praying right now as we press on to the second point. Because we can also see that an attitude of gratitude is not hypocritical prayers. An attitude of gratitude is not hypocritical prayers. Jesus gives us another portrait, and it's in Luke chapter 18. And in this picture, Jesus, he records and displays insincere gratitude. Here's the setting. Jesus tells a parable about two men who go to church. And one man is very religious on the outside, but he is empty and hollow on the inside. This man is a Pharisee. He's a religious professional. And the other guy, he is a low tax collector. They both go to the same church service. And Jesus, in this picture, says this one man, he personifies hypocritical praying because he is insincere. You see, he is so self-focused that the Bible even says he prays to himself. He doesn't connect with the Lord. He just prays to himself. He's comparative. He's competitive. And he says, technically, a prayer of thanksgiving. How does he start? Oh, God. He says, I thank you that I'm not like that low-down, no-good skunk of a tax collector. But instead, I am your favorite. I am the spiritually elite. I do everything that I'm supposed to do. I tithe. I give. I show up to church. But the Lord Jesus is creating a warning here about playing religious games, my friend. You see, this man was saying all the right words, but his heart was not right. It's kind of like when children gather for Thanksgiving. We had the best Thanksgiving. My family was all together. There were 15 of us around this platter of turkey on a Wednesday. That was our Thanksgiving day, so we could get us all together, all 15 of us. And we have 6 grandchildren, and they've rotated. When I said, who wants to pray the prayer? All of those hands went up. Now, I don't know if it was from a sincere desire to express gratitude to God or to impress grandparents. That's what you got to be careful with, that you don't play a game with your faith. But those little kids, now they're precious, and I love them, but I got an idea that when they said those rote prayers, they were doing the best they could, but it came out something like this: God is great, God is good, now we thank him for our food. And we would all say, oh, that's so good, Baxter. And then our 3-year-old Gideon said, rub-a-dub-dub, thank God for the grub, let's eat. No, he didn't say, I'm kidding. My grandkids would not say that. All right. But you see, hear what I'm saying? Do you know what our mentality can be? It's okay when you're 4 years old and you're saying, God is great, God is good, now we thank him for our food. But it's not when you're 40 years old. If you're still stuck in that prayer rut, if all you're doing is acting rotely religious, that's the height of hypocrisy. That is a picture of insincerity. And that's what Jesus is warning us against. He wants us to be warned that you've got to have the right words connected to the right heart. Otherwise, it's insincerity and it is ingratitude. But let's go to the third picture. The attitude of gratitude is a humble expression of thanks. A humble expression of thanks. You see, here is Jesus. He is traveling to Jerusalem. He is going through Samaria. And he encounters 10 men who have leprosy. And they come up to Jesus and they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus, he looks at them and he says, go, show yourself to the priest. And as they go, they are healed. Now, I want you to imagine this. Leprosy is a horrible disease. It can eat up your skin. It can make it numb and dead. It can make your fingers fall off. It is horrible. Your skin turns yellow. It is contagious, so you're isolated from other people. So these people had been removed from society. They were in the lowest caste of their society, and yet they had heard about Jesus. And they come running up to Jesus and they say, Jesus, would you help us? And what does Jesus do? He responds with grace and mercy and love and help and healing. And what does he do? He said, just go and show yourself to the priest and you will be whole. And the Bible says, as they began the journey of leaving, they no doubt look at their fingers and these missing digits are starting to reappear. This yellowish, rancid skin is being replaced with skin that looks like a child's skin. They began to yell and dance and skip like schoolboys. And as they're going toward the priest, they've been isolated now perhaps for years. Oh, their heart, it's a geyser of gratitude. But only one stops in his tracks. And he says, I've got to go to the source of my blessing. And he runs back to Jesus. And what does he do? The scripture says he kneels down before him and he thanks him. He praises him. He worships him. Now watch this. Jesus has 2 responses. He affirms the man for his action, but then he also duly notes that nine are missing. He says, is only one of these 10 coming back to worship me? Now, I want you to see what that guy got for coming back. Look on your worksheet. Then Jesus said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Did you know that word well there means whole? It's one thing to have exterior healing, but he had interior completion. You see, he went back and worshiped the giver of the gifts, and he got more than a healing that day. He got wholeness. I'm just curious. Do you think Jesus ever looks across the landscape of a city like Montgomery and people like us who've been so radically blessed by the kind hand of God, and then he looks at the houses of worship and he affirms that we're here, but then could he possibly think in his heart, where's everybody else? Where are the other people that I've helped and blessed and healed along the way? Don't they come to worship me and give thanks to God? As the Lord looks across America and he sees this nation that has been dripping with blessings and prosperity, and the goodness of God has framed our life, and he sees America turning its back on the Lord, does he ever lament? And he say, oh, I affirm those who are following me, but look at those who've turned their back on me. I think he does. My friend, I want you to understand, humble expressions of thanksgiving is not only pictured in this leper who came back, but this should be our goal. This is my constant goal. As I travel through life, I want to be a person who not only is aware of God's blessings, but I want to consistently express them. Because gratitude unexpressed is ingratitude. All right, let that sink in. Gratitude unexpressed really is ingratitude. That's true with the Lord. It's true with others. If somebody does something good for you and you don't tell them thank you, how do they know you appreciated it? I'll give you a fun example. Years ago, a guy knew that I liked to go fishing, and he gave me this really nice fishing rod. And I caught a lot of fish with it, and every time I'd be around him, I'd say, hey, did you know I caught a really big bass with this rod right here? And he would just kind of glow, and you know, he's given me two other rods. It doesn't hurt to express gratitude. As a matter of fact, it begets more gifts. And you see, when we express our praise and gratitude, our thanksgiving to God, that affirms our Heavenly Father. Now, I would have you understand, here's what God expects. It's recorded in Psalm 100. Here's what God expects of you every day. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, nobody left out. Enter His presence with thanksgiving. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness and faithfulness, it is everlasting. Oh, that's what God is calling you to do, travel with Him. Too many people go through this life grumbly hateful instead of humbly grateful. And that's God's call, to be like that leper who became a leaper, who became a praiser of God. Come with me now and shift the gear, moving from the attitude of gratitude to the magnitude of gratitude. The magnitude of gratitude. Now, when I was a kid in Georgetown, Texas, we used to get the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Is anybody old enough to have ever gotten one of those? Oh, I know you get a million catalogs, but we only got one in those days. And they usually have good, better, and best on their items. Like, for instance, lawnmowers. The good lawnmower was generally $89, and it was the basic mower. The better lawnmower, it was $109. It was $20 more, and it had a grass catcher on it. But the really best model was $129. Oh, it was not only had a grass catcher, it was self-propelled and could microwave your coffee. It was an amazing machine. Yeah, I'm just kidding. But anyway, good, better, best. So let's divide it up like this. So the magnitude of blessings. Good is thanks for past blessings. Thanks for past blessings. Look on your worksheet. James 1:17 affirms, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So if you trace all your blessings back the origin is the Lord. From your daily bread to your breath to the beating of your heart, everything that you have is a gift from our kind Heavenly Father. So, friend, here's my point. It doesn't require a whole lot of faith to thank God for the blessings that He has poured upon us. Now, we should thank Him, and we should thank Him profusely for all of the good things that He has put in our path, and we should attribute them to Him. The other day, I was talking to a guy, and he told me this real scary story. He was driving on the interstate, and this car went out of control and just narrowly missed wiping him out, a big SUV. And it would have been a catastrophic wreck. It could have taken his life. And he said, you know, when that happened, I just stopped, I pulled over, and I thanked my lucky stars. I said, what? You thanked who? Your lucky stars instead of your loving Savior? Oh, my friend, understand that God is the origin of all of your blessings. A few years ago, we had quite a moment here at First Baptist. The year was 2007. At the end of the 11 o'clock service, I noticed some commotion in the back. You know, I got the best seat in the house. And I noticed somebody was talking back there, and the ushers came and got Dr. Steve Barrington, who was right over here. He's an orthopedic surgeon. Steve started rushing out that back way. I couldn't even remember what I was trying to say, but I got through the invitation, and I learned right after the service was over that a young boy in our church, 12-year-old Andrew Lucas, had gotten on the top steps of our grand staircase and was playing skateboard. And he decided to skate down the banister. He immediately lost his footing, and it's a 60-foot drop down to a slate floor. So he fell between the steps. Somehow, on the last landing, he hit a foot and bounced out, and he caromed into a man named Mr. Phillips on the last landing of stairs before you hit the slate. Mr. Phillips was a visitor. He never came back, actually, after that. But he did save Andrew's life. Was that an accident? Or was that a God incident? By the time I got down there, Steve was attending to him. After a 60-foot fall, he had no ostensible injuries. What do you do? Thank your lucky stars? Or thank our Heavenly Father, who is the origin of all of our blessings? So praise Him. Let me give you a thought. We sang that song, Count Your Many Blessings. Be a blessing counter. Name them one by one. Keep a blessing journal. A man by the name of Hans Selye, Dr. Hans Selye, has done more research on stress and the impact of stress on the human body than anybody in human history. He's written 36 books. He's published 1,700 medical articles interlinking stress to the human body. And his one giant takeaway is the people who are helped most keep a gratitude journal and develop an attitude of thanksgiving. In other words, you write down all that you're thankful for. So that's your takeaway point. Write down what God has done for you. Count your blessings. And then the B part, is thanks for future challenges. Thanks for future challenges. You see, it requires more faith, but that's okay. We can thank God for all the things He's given us, but when you see a storm cloud gathering, when you see Hurricane Michael coming your way, when there's a medical problem, when you're getting ready to retire and you don't know that you got enough finances, or when you've just gotten out of college and you don't know you can find a job, you see this storm that's given you a knot in your stomach, what do you do with that future challenge? The Bible says you thank God for it. It says in Hebrews 11:6, that takes big faith, but that's okay, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, that's what an Old Testament hero named Jehoshaphat did. Do you remember the story of Jehoshaphat? It's over in 1 Chronicles 20, or 2 Chronicles 20. We sang a musical not long ago with the children, and they called it Fat, Fat Jehoshaphat. It was really easy to remember. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and there were an alliances of kingdoms who came together, and they were going to attack Judah. Well, The reconnaissance said that Judah was heavily outnumbered by the army men, and they were heavily over-equipped. And I'm telling you, they were in a bind. They were afraid. They didn't know what to do. So Jehoshaphat come, and he kneels before the Lord. He starts to pray, and the scripture says something amazing. Look on your outline, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. He said, listen, the Lord is speaking, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army that's coming against you. For the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. Right now, if you're facing some storm, it's on the horizon, it's causing fear and anxiety to overwhelm your life, listen to what he says. The battle is not just yours. The Lord is in this with you. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Paul proclaimed, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So summon your faith for facing the challenge. Do you know what happened to Jehoshaphat? The Lord didn't say, go get a bigger army. He said, turn up the volume of your praise. Jehoshaphat says, here's what I want you to do. Get the Levites to go and praise me. And they sang a song, and it was this, thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The Bible just says that God sent ambushes among those soldiers, and they destroyed each other, and they were defeated. So when you see the storm clouds gathering, turn up the praise and trust God. And last, here's the best. Thanks for present difficulties. Thank God for the present difficulties. Let's go back to Ephesians 5, verse 20. What does it say now? Always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always give thanks for all things. That includes our blessings, our challenges, and our present difficulties. Now that's tough, isn't it? Some of you are protesting. You say, Jay, I'm battling cancer. How do I thank God for that? Jay, I'm in the middle of a bankruptcy. How can I thank God for that? Hey, Pastor, I've lost my loved one. How can I thank God for that? I've got a child that's in rank rebellion like a prodigal. How can I thank God for that? My friend, let me just remind you of what the scripture says. Thank God for all things, all the time. Do you remember the story of Johnny Erickson Tata? Johnny was a vivacious young lady, 17 years old, and she had a swimming accident and broke her neck like that and instantly became a quadriplegic. She spent 2 years in rehab. She was in a wheelchair. She was so depressed she wanted to die. And then she said at year 3, the battle tide turned. And she focused on Ephesians 5:20. So she said in obedience, she thanked God for her wheelchair. Here's how she put it. I thank God for my wheelchair because he has taken me places in that wheelchair that my two legs could have never taken me. You see, God opened up a huge door of kingdom opportunity for Johnny. So in the middle of the difficulty, what are you to do? Summon maximum faith. Do what Paul did in Acts chapter 16. Oh, here he's at Philippi. He's beaten. He's thrown into prison unfairly. And what happens? Oh, he praises God at midnight. He turns up the volume of his praise. And that's when the jail started to shake. That's when the chains came off his hands. The jail door opened. The jailer got saved. The church at Philippi was started. All that happened because God allowed Paul to turn up the praise, and the breakthrough came. So what do you do at midnight? Paul prays God. Always remember this. It's darkest at midnight, but at 12:01 midnight is the new day. So at midnight comes the new day. And in faith, thank God for the blessings that come from the darkness and then the new day. Well, here's the last in closing thought, the altitude of gratitude. Let's add to the attitude and the magnitude of gratitude, the altitude of gratitude. Here's the bottom line. When your thanksgiving becomes your lifestyle, when you're constantly a person of worship and praise and giving God glory for what he's done for you, it takes you to a higher level. It allows you to soar up into that stratosphere with the Savior. I got this post from Thanksgiving from my son, Jason. Jason was with us Wednesday, and then he and Catherine and James and John shifted over to Georgia, to Athens, to be with Catherine's family. Jason joined that family 14 years ago, November of 2004. I did their wedding in Athens. And the Arnolds have had a lot of challenges. They've had some very significant difficulties. Catherine, their oldest daughter, Jason's wife, she had a ruptured AVM and almost died, spent 2 years in rehab. Amy, who's on my right, sitting beside the pumpkins, she was in a near-fatal automobile wreck 2 years ago and spent a year getting over it and is just now coming back to a place of viability. Brooks, my fellow grandfather, I love that guy. He has atypical multiple myeloma. They diagnosed it a few months ago. And tomorrow he goes to Emory for a stem cell transplant attempt. He's got tumors just that have cropped up all over his body. That's why it's atypical. So they've had a lot going on. In the middle of that, Kim's mother, Amanda, this delightful lady, for 5 years descended into the darkness of dementia. And this beautiful, vivacious woman lost herself in that long goodbye. So this family's been through a lot, haven't they? And here's how Jason frames it when he writes the post yesterday. He says, there have been many challenges in this recent season, but we are grateful because the hard things help reveal God's best things. If that's your attitude, one of gratitude, you won't be like a frozen turkey. You'll be like a soaring eagle who flies up into God's presence on the wings of praise and thanksgiving. So let's pray. Oh, Father.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.